You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Julie Kane, in for Hanat Baba. Events like the one thrown the night of the ghost ship fire used to be a regular occurrence all over Oakland, but they've virtually died out because venues fear drawing attention to themselves. Since December, the city has ramped up inspections, and last week, the Oakland Police Department started requiring officers to report all unpermitted events. But many who have run event spaces say that if the city wants to regulate them, more rules and bureaucracy will only push events further underground and may lead to more unsafe spaces. KALW's Jeremy Dalmas digs into what it takes to get an event permit in Oakland.
Back in July of 2010, Aja Archuleta played this show at 21 Grand, just months before the space was shut down by the city. Archuleta was one of the survivors of the ghost ship fire. He had been scheduled to play later that evening. And this performance at 21 Grand was part of the Mission Creek Music Festival, organized by fire victim Kiyomi Tanue.
My name is Sarah Lockhart. I was one of the founders and people who ran the art space 21 Grand in Oakland from the year 2000 to the year 2010.
21 Grand was a founding member of the Art Murmur Gallery Walk. Lockhart says that they were the first alternative art space in Uptown. Their bread and butter was music, but they also had visual art, dance, readings, and film screenings. At their height in 2008, they were hosting events every couple days.
The need was there. It's like we could have filled every single night of the week, but we weren't making money. We needed to work jobs.
After 7 years of events, one night while packing up, they were approached by the police.
And they just sort of came in, took a look, and are like, if we catch you doing this again, we're going to shut you down. And I was like, do I take this seriously? And then we're like, well, what would we need to do?
They thought that they were above board, and they wanted to be. After that night, they got shuttled from city department to city department, each one adding to a long checklist of things to do. And a lot of these departments didn't have good communication with one another.
And at the time that we had problems with the city, we were receiving grant money from the city to have shows.
After 2 years of red tape and thousands of dollars, 21 Grand finally figured out that in order to stay open, they would have to retrofit the building, install sprinklers, move the front door, and a bunch of other things. It would cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. They tried to move, but other spaces would have also required expensive retrofitting, or would have been double the rent. 21 Grand shut down in 2010. The building it was in is now an auto shop.
I mean, I told the city straight up when they first started cracking down on us that we're a nonprofit, we're concerned about safety. You shut us down and places like us down, and the only people who are going to still be doing things are you're going to have to push people to places that are far more unsafe.
After the fire in December, almost 1,300 people signed a letter that was written by survivors and addressed to Oakland Mayor Libby Schaaf. Part of that letter asked the city to reassess permitting policies, and then goes on to state, quote,
"The importance of this last demand is illustrated well by the case of 21 Grand, a venue that did everything it could to legitimately host experimental music, but was stymied at every point by an arduous city bureaucratic process."
At City Hall, Councilmember-at-Large Rebecca Kaplan says that she wants to fix the specific problems that plague 21 Grand. One idea is to make it much easier to interact with the city.
And so what I and others are asking for is a single point of contact permit that is not run by the police department.
But years after 21 Grand closed, there is still nothing on the table that deals with their biggest challenge. How does a nonprofit community space with little money either A, pay to upgrade the building, or B, afford a building that is already up to code to have events? And if they can't pay and they hide instead, is the city any safer? The fire didn't create this problem, but it did intensify it. And like LiveWorx spaces, event spaces have also been hit with inspections and eviction notices in recent months. Where are we right now?
Yeah, we're in the front part of Quilombo Community Center.
Vandell helps run Quilombo. They're a radical social center that focuses on Black and brown communities in West Oakland. They have a bookstore, a huge garden with chickens, and their doors are open for Domino's games since the city closed nearby St. Andrew's Park.
And then we have this room, but it's our healing space. We have a really large group of people who do massage and acupuncture and Reiki and, you know, yoga, everything.
There really isn't any other space like this. They're different from 21 Grand, but they are beginning to deal with some of the same issues. 2 weeks after Ghost Ship, Quilombo failed a fire inspection after passing them for years.
On the piece of paper that they gave us, it just said that we are not permitted to have public gatherings.
She says she believes their property manager, who had already tried to evict them before, called in the inspection on the property himself. That manager didn't respond to numerous calls for comment, but Dell says he showed up with the fire inspector and afterwards told Quilombo that their lease was void because of the failed inspection.
We came to the conclusion landlords were snitching on spaces that they knew weren't up to code because they were negligent.
This is hard to verify. Complaints are anonymous, so it's unclear who called in an inspection and why they did it. At worst, the system can be abused. At best, it leads to suspicion.
People need to be able to trust that the safety inspections really are for their safety.
And part of the Emergency Tenant Protection Ordinance, which is slowly being reviewed by the city, would solve this by requiring complaint filers to leave contact information.
I do think that there is a certain amount of pressure that people believe that they need to prove now after the fire that they're being tough.
Which is understandable. There was just a fire. The fire department also didn't respond to calls for comment, so we don't know if they are actually getting tougher. The city is right now walking a tightrope, balancing their responsibility to keep spaces up to code, dealing with a housing crisis, and avoiding lawsuits from the fire. But people in underground spaces are also walking a tightrope of their own, trying to recover from a tragedy while fighting to keep their community together. Jonas Strauss from the Oakland Warehouse Coalition explains.
Right now, the warehouse community is not holding any shows. We're not holding any art shows. All underground art and music in Oakland has stopped. There are no events.
Everyone is trying to figure out how to handle this unprecedented tragedy. And in a city that is in the middle of a real identity crisis and is also known for doing things outside the system, this fire feels like a watershed event. This is a community that's still grieving. Some people lost many, many friends the night of the fire. What is Oakland supposed to do with this? Under the highway, near Jack London Square, there's a small structure in front of the community art space Oakland Secret. It's the size of a large wooden shed, made with pretty, nailed-together old windows, and, most importantly, there's a small, disconnected rotary phone on the shelf. It's a phone booth to speak with the dead, made by Oakland resident Jordan Baxter Stern.
After the Ghost Ship fire, my friend Donalda died in that fire, and my whole community was and is incredibly tore up, and so it felt like this could be a cool way to help us grieve and accept the death of our friends and kind of bring that into our life.
He made this with his friends, and I actually helped him build it. And it helps. At least a little bit. He picks up the phone and dials.
Hey, Donalda, you're on the air. We love you. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Underneath the Nimitz Freeway in Oakland, this is Jeremy Dalmas for Cross Currents.